And welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This is your host, Roger Metz. Actually, I'm not here today. I am out on Lake Murray chasing the anglers from the University of South Carolina around a couple of creeks, which will go unnamed, where they'll be throwing a couple of baits, which I will not tell you about. Well, actually, I probably could, but I'll wait. It'll be better. In fact, if everything goes like in my mind that it's supposed to go, those guys will be on here because we will have gone 3 for 3 on fishing championships in South Carolina this year. And if, I guess like everybody else, the first of the week, I was kind of wondering where spring went. And Thursday morning, trust me, when it was 47 degrees, wind blowing 15 to 20 miles an hour and raining on us on Lake Murray, yeah, everybody was really wishing that spring was back in full force. Maybe it will be today. Yeah, well, it yet to be determined. The sun may come out, which may change the way they fish altogether. But anyway, we'll have some results from those later on this afternoon. I'm your host, Roger Metz. I appreciate you joining me here today. Today's show was originally planned and recorded as a great conversation with Charles Ruth, the Department of Natural Resources Whitetail and Turkey Management Program Director. But for some reason, this week, technology has forsaken me. My phone is possessed, and my computer did not. It recorded him excellent. His is fine, and I sound like somebody's got a gag on me. So we will do our best to salvage some of that for a future show. But it was a great interview. And, he really has his pulse on what's going on. And the main thing that I brought from the interview was that the hunters were the one that spurred a lot of what we're seeing as far as the new deer regulations and the turkey regulations, which, by the way, turkey regulations have passed out, and as I understand it, waiting on Governor Nikki Haley's signature. So that means it's a statewide season, 3-bird limit, and that will take place, I expect, next year if she signs it. Anyway, this is Woods and Water. You can listen to it right there on your radio dial at 94.5. You can go to the Conservative Talk 94.5 website, click the Listen Live link on the right side of the page, or you can download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app for your phone or tablet. Woods and Water is also on Facebook, where the last few days I have been actually, I would suppose what you call a blogging on what's happening down on Lake Murray. That's facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. Instagram, hashtag woodsandwatersc radio. And the website, woodsandwatersc.com. And you can, there, every week, you can listen to the podcast from the prior week. Last Saturday was really fun. If you heard the show, you heard Fat Matt Lusk talk about chili. I was judging the chili competition in Belton. And, chili verde. It does not look like something you would normally eat. It's a green pea soupy-looking. Does look nothing like chili. It's actually no beans, and there's really nothing in there besides some green chilies, maybe some onions, some pepper, and then steak chunks, which was very unique. Some of it was very, very tender. Some of it was kind of a little tough, and Matt actually explained to me which cuts got springy, is what he said, when you go overcook it, but it was really good. Had a great time. Beautiful weather. Boy, last Saturday was absolutely gorgeous and ate some good food. The homestyle chili was good too. So got another chili cook-off coming up in May. So, and yours truly may be there judging that too, depending how I came out on the last judging session. Next week, I'm going to be gone again. So we're going to go long on the calendar of events because it's going to have to last for 2 weeks. I will be off on my daughter's senior high school trip, chaperoning that. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, mixed emotions. But next week and for the week after that, there's a lot going on. And we'll start out with today. South Carolina Arms Collectors Association is having their annual gun and knife show at the TD Convention Center. The hours today are 9 to 5, tomorrow 10 to 4. Admissions, $8. 12 years and under are free when accompanied by an adult. Military, $6, but you got to have your ID with you. Parking, yes, you can pay to park or you can park free and walk a little bit, so that's up to you. But TD Convention Center going on today and tomorrow. And Operation Choke Point, you may remember earlier the story that I did about that. That's been well, for sake of a better word, rescinded, maybe. And which means some of those banks should be accepting credit cards and all that at gun shows. But I would still suggest you take cash. That's just my suggestion, just in case you find one that you want to buy and they don't take credit cards. Moving on, Thursday the 23rd, the York County Oyster Roast and Fish Fry, York, South Carolina. It's a Ducks Unlimited event, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The doors open at 6. It's at the DU Barn. So your contact is Adam Shumate, 803-417-0477. You can go to ducks.org and click on state events, find some more of it information there. Get your taste buds going. The 6th annual Project Host Barbecue Cook-Off and Festival is happening in Greenville, Friday, April the 24th and Saturday, April the 25th. The Project Host will be smoking again at the corner of Main and Broad Streets, downtown Greenville. It's in conjunction with another festival going on Friday. It's the People's Choice Best Wings. You can sample wings from each cooking team and choose your favorite. Barbecue and other concessions available. Live music, family fun. Then on Saturday, they're going to have the teams pulled pork barbecue event, and you can actually have some of that. Plate sandwiches, hamburgers, hot dogs, and all the fixings, live music, and more family fun. That is April the 24th and 25th, right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Main Street and Broad Street. And then the same weekend, April 24th and 25th, in Rock Hill, South Carolina, is another South Carolina Barbecue Association event. It's the Come See Me Barbecue Cook-Off. Now, Come See Me is a week-long event in Rock Hill. There's lots going on. You can Google Come See Me Festival, and there's a digital brochure that you can look at online. But the part I'm interested in is the barbecue competition. Friday is a anything but competition, which means they can't cook barbecue Boston butts. Saturday, they're judging at 10, and at 3 o'clock, you can buy it by the slice, by the sandwich, or by the pound. That's in Rock Hill, South Carolina, just a short drive away from wherever you are in South Carolina. Annual Friends Day from the South Carolina State Parks website. It's being held at Parris Mountain State Park, April 25th, 11 to 3. It's the State Park Service 75th anniversary this year. So admission to the park is free on this day of celebration, hosted by Parris Mountain State Park Friends, though donations will be accepted. Kids activities, educational programs, free boat rides, music, food, and fun as a thank you to the community. The event lasts from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. That's Parris Mountain State Park, Greenville, South Carolina, and it's free. Gotta love free things. We mentioned a few weeks ago there was one. Now there's another one. The Glendale Outdoor Leadership School is having a kayak roll clinic. Are you looking to step up your kayaking a notch? Are you a seasoned pro looking to knock the dust off? Either way, join the GOLD staff or our kayak roll clinics. Great opportunity to learn, refine, or practice the art of rolling a whitewater kayak. Bring your own or use one of ours. GOLD staff will be on hand. That's at the Spartanburg Athletic Club. Cost is $5. Dates and times, of course, April 28th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Contact is Jay Ellison, 864-529-0259. From the South Carolina State Parks, another one, Musgrove Mill Revolutionary War Encampment Weekend in Clinton, South Carolina, April 25th, 26th, 10 to 4 both days. Join us at Musgrove Mill State Historic Site for our Revolutionary War Encampment Weekend. The two-day event will feature reenactors demonstrating many aspects of colonial life in South Carolina backcountry during the Revolutionary War. During this event, visitors will have the opportunity to experience historic portrayals of life during the Revolution. Activities will be battle reconstructions, interpretive talks, exhibits offered by the reenactors, includes flintlock rifles. And you know, one of the biggest draws I had down at the Palmetto Sports Classic was my flintlock rifle. Really neat. I laid that thing out on the table, and you would not believe the number of people who stopped by and said, what a pretty rifle. It is a beautiful rifle, and you know, not many people know what a flintlock is. So if you want to see it for yourself and see them demonstrating, watching them fire, it's an experience. You can do that at Musgrove Mill State Historic Site. Here's the music. We're going to take a break. I've got a little bit more to go through, and then we'll get into the rest of the show. So hang in there with me, and we'll be back on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We going to get back and got a few more things on the calendar. Like I said, this is going to run you for 2 weeks. Lots of stuff to do. And like I always say in this calendar events, this is just a sampling of what's out there. There is so much going on across South Carolina. At any given time, you would just be amazed. So this is just a place to start. If a certain thing jumps out at you, then go do it. But if a venue like the encampments, you can Google South Carolina reenactments and they'll come up with a whole list. So this is just a place to start. I don't expect these, the only things you can do when I give you these, I'm not saying that at all. You need to go out and find something you really enjoy. And this next one's another foodie. Man, we're just full of foodies today. The 2015 Greenville Ducks Unlimited Sportsman's Fish Fry and Barbecue. Tuesday, April the 28th, 6 to 10, St. George Greek Church. That's downtown on North Academy Street in Greenville, South Carolina. Tickets, $35 for a single. Online ticket sales end, 4/27. So you better hurry up for this one. Buy now. Worth Hathaway, 864-907-2190. And on a lot of these Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, you can always go to their website and find more events that might be in closer to your area, might be a little further out on the calendar than what I go. This has got a good one. General information, get this. Calling all waterfowl, deer, turkey hunters, and fishermen. This event is not your normal Ducks Unlimited function. This event will bring together the hottest field and hunting gear on the market under one roof. We'll have a K2 raffle packs for sale. $500 gets you in all the raffles, and you get a 20-quart K2 cooler with your purchase. So this is not going to be just for duck hunters. This is calling all sportsmen, outdoorsmen. This is one that's probably going to do for everybody. State Park website again, Spring Wildflower Walk. It's at Jones Gap up there in Marietta, South Carolina. Just a good excuse to get out with the family and go walk in the woods. The spring wildflowers, vibrant colors, we all know what they look like. Butterflies, hummingbirds, and other animals. Like I said, just a family outing. That's Jones Gap State Park, Marietta, South Carolina, April 25th, 10:30 in the morning till noon. One day prior, please register. And you'll meet at the Learning Center. Bring water and wear comfortable walking shoes. This one, I love the Clemson Extension website now. So the Clemson events for this one is Pond Management 101 Upstate. Got a little pond out there, like I do. You're always wondering how to manage it good. My granddaddy, when he was alive, we used to fertilize it with something called Bluestone. I understand it's banned now and it's a liquid form, but it worked when he was managing the pond at the farm. But this is very good. It's a Circle M Barbecue in Liberty, South Carolina. This course will be packed with information on pond management. Topics, pond stocking, fish health, population balance, which is something you always struggle with when you have bass and brim, water chemistry, pond fertilization, aquatic weed identification and control. We'll also discuss the impact that Canadian geese have on water ways and possible management strategies you can take, like shooting everyone you see. My favorite pet name for Canadian geese are skycarp. But pond owners will leave this course with the information needed to successfully manage their ponds. Register now. Space is limited. Cost is $30. Contact is Renee Watson. Her phone number, 864-878-1394. Or you can go to the Clemson Extension website and just Google Pond Management 101 Upstate. And I think these courses are offered across the state. This is just the one that came up when I did it. Fishing for fun, and it's beginning to get fishing season. Like I said, I was out for 2 days with the anglers of South Carolina following them around, and you would not believe the herring bite that is going off on these lakes right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it brings to mind fishing. Fishing for fun, Spartanburg, that at Cross State Park. On May 2nd from 8 to noon, they're going to have a Fishing for Fun. Come out to Cross State Park for the 7th annual Fishing for Fun event. A day of family fun and fishing. Bring your rod and reel and your lucky lure or favorite bait. Have a limited amount of bait for you on a first-come, first-served basis. There'll be prizes for the largest bass and the largest panfish. Also giveaways throughout the day. Talk with the park ranger about some fishing how-tos and best kept secret fishing holes. Lunch will be provided for kids starting at noon. Again, May 2nd, 8 to noon, Croft State Park in Spartanburg. Does not have a registration, so I assume you don't have to register, just show up, which is always cool. And the last one for this week, Palmetto Backcountry Campout. And this one's out there. It's May 2nd through the May 3rd. It's a two-day thing. It's at Jones Gap State Park. Come out and play at the Palmetto Backcountry Campout. Campout's designed to introduce families or individuals to the backcountry camping experience in a controlled environment. Campout will include like a 0.4-mile hike to the camping site and then a day hike to beautiful waterfalls inside the Mountain Bridge Wilderness area. Other activities include camping games, fishing, storytelling, backcountry cooking. Showers and restroom facilities are within 0.4-mile of the campsite. That's important if you're going to take those ladies in your life with you or your little girls. If you do not have backcountry camping gear, we'll have some available. All participants will be provided with a list of items they need to bring 1 week prior to the campout. Now, you have to register 1 week before. So if it's May 2nd, that puts it somewhere around February the 25th. So, not February, April the 25th. Wow. Great way to get involved in camping. If you have not experienced in camping, this is a way to do it in a controlled environment with people that know what they're doing. I'd suggest you go. Take the family. And then, you know what? Now you know the basics and you can do it on your own. So that's the calendar. As always, I will put those up on the Facebook page. I'll list the event, date, time, where it's happening, and provide you a website link. And as always, before you go, check in a couple of days just to make sure nothing's changed for the weather or they've had to cancel it. That way you don't show up and be the only one there, which I haven't done before. That's why I warn you. I don't want you to be like me. I referenced it earlier. The Collegiate Bass Fishing Championships are going on at Lake Murray. By the time this show airs, they will be coming to an end. The weigh-in's at 4 o'clock at the Carolina Baseball Stadium. If you listen to the interview we had with Julie Huber with FLW, there are over 800 collegiate bass fishing teams across the country. There was a team from Eastern Washington State there. There was a team from Oregon State there. And then you had a scattering of Louisiana, Texas, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Florida, just all over the United States. All these are college kids. And it was funny because some of them were fishing solo because their partner still had class or something and couldn't get there on time. Or it was – and you had a couple who guys who were graduating or had graduated. Because, see, you qualified for this last fall, and they graduated on the off – whatever, and so they actually were out working, and the waymaster was asking, "How's life?" And you know, well, I'm working now. I don't get to fish anymore. I'm working now, and it was really neat to hear some of those guys talk. Thursday afternoon's weigh in. I was out on the lake from probably 6:30. Launch was at 7. The USC anglers were out boat 11. We followed them around till about 11:15 and just decided we did not want to get rained on anymore, so we came back in. Went down. That's when I had my interview with Charles Ruth that just didn't happen. And I apologize for that. I apologize to Mr. Ruth. I will get that. We'll do segments of it and get that information because it was a good interview. Friday morning, again, left Greenville about 4:15, got down there. Yesterday, I had a driver named Dave. FLW comes in and contracts with the retiree fishing clubs on Lake Murray, and they're a blast to be around. Dave was yesterday morning. It was new. I had never met Dave before. But this morning, I reunited with 80-mile-an-hour Marvin Brown, and we got on the boat, and it was solid fog. You couldn't see more than about 100 yards out in front, and Marvin looked at me, and he said, "I don't know about you, but I don't want to kill myself in that fog bank over there." I said, "You know what? That's fine with me. I want to get home tonight and see my family." So we kind of let the field go. They flipped the order, so USC was out 39th. And so by that time, it was a veritable washing machine all the way up the lake from 39 boats plus the spectator boats out there. We lost everybody in the fog. In fact, we kind of got turned around out in the middle of the lake. Even though we had the GPS mapping on, we couldn't see the bank, so we didn't know exactly where we were, and we got turned around. We eventually found them. We found them the same place they were Thursday morning. They had two in the boat when we got there, which means they caught two very, very quick fish. Added a third while we were there, and then they just started bouncing from place to place, maybe 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And I've learned a lot about bass fishing just in the last 2 days. The herring bite, I've never fished a herring bite, but there were so many times where you would be watching them fishing, and all of a sudden, we're not talking one little fish coming up and slapping the top of the water. No, we're talking 10, 12, 15 fish just boiling on top of the water. And these were not stripers. These were largemouth. And you'd see the herring flying through the air. And I just missed a great picture of a herring and a bass about 6 inches apart. I got the splash, but neither fish. Shutter's just not quite fast enough. But it was an incredible just to watch it. And those fish would blow up, and they would pitch that bait in there. And sometimes they wouldn't. You couldn't buy a bite. And other times the bait would hit the water and just get inhaled. And a lot of these are small fish. Today, foggy, not much wind, and the herring bite, we did not see fish breaking like we did Thursday morning. A lot different fishing. Still fishing a lot like we saw a lot more crankbaits this morning. Oops, I just told you what they were fishing with. Oh, well, be too late by the time you hear this. It won't benefit another team at all. But we just had Marvin and I had a ball together. It's amazing how concentrated and these kids are when they go out and fish these tournaments. They are intent, running, gunning, fishing. I saw them catch a very nice fish off a seawall, a very good cull up. FLW, if you look at the Woods and Water Facebook page, a running blog there, but FLW said the same thing I was seeing. USC was doing very well, and a lot of the top teams were stumbling. We'll see if that keeps up through the rest of the day. They have to make the top 10 cut at Friday's weigh-in to fish on Saturday for the championship. That'll be 3-for-3 in South Carolina, which is incredible, even considering we've got three national championship fishing events here in the state. And to win all three of them might be a bridge too far. We'll see. There's the music. I'll be back on the other side of the break, and we'll finish out this show. It's time for another Defending the Cup with Anthony Gagliardi segment here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're. Tell us where you are and where you're going.
All right, so I just crossed into Alabama. I'm on my way. Actually, this is going to be a pretty good road trip for me. First stop is Wilson Lake in Alabama, just outside of Florence. We're going to be filming this season's Ultimate Match Fishing. So I'm going to be a part of that again, which was great. I've done that several years in the past.
Okay.
I won it a few years ago, and it's really fun. It's a great show to be a part of. And when we finish up with that this week, then I'll head straight to Beaver Lake, which will be the next tour event. So, got a busy couple of weeks ahead of me.
Busy couple of weeks, and a lot of time on the water, too.
Absolutely. But that's a good thing, though. As long as I'm on the water, it means I'm still doing what I love to do, and I'll have a chance to make some money for the family.
I hear you. Lewis Smith Lake. I mean, it was a good tournament for you. You caught right at 14 pounds Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Just missed the cut to fish on Sunday. Quite a rebound from Lake Toho, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good to get back in the into the positive side of things and recapture a little bit of momentum. That's a good lake. We've been there several times. I made the cut. I think I finished in the top 10 the last time that we were there, and had done well the time before that. I like it. There's a lot of spotted bass in the lake, and the population of spotted bass has actually increased in size dramatically over the past couple of years. There's been an influx of some blueback herring in the lake, and so I think that it's just kind of kick-started the whole food chain, and the fishing is really good. I mean, there's a lot of big largemouth as well, but just a ton of spots, and it's just really fun to go around catching those spots, which I ended up doing in the latter parts of that tournament, was targeting spotted bass that were spawning, and they're just catching the spawners off the bed. And it's a lot of fun catching a 3-pound spot off the bed, I'll tell you.
Any surprises from the couple days of practice to the tournament?
No, I felt like I had a pretty good shot going into it. I actually found a lot of largemouth, really good size largemouth on the bed. I was able to catch a few of those that first day, and a lot of the bigger largemouth that I had located in practice were gone. But there was still enough up and enough moving up that you were able to go around even in areas that you practiced in and see new fish. And there was obviously fish coming in throughout the whole competition. But I kind of got keyed in on that spotted bass deal that second day. Towards the end of the second day, I caught a couple nice spots off the bed. I never even looked for any spots on the bed during practice.
Okay.
But I came across some that second day, and they were just, they were really easy to catch. And so I decided after I made the cut, I was going to go out and kind of look for that on day three, and that's what I did, and just found a lot of them. And so I ended up concentrating mostly on spots there towards the end of the tournament. I did have a shot at making the cut and probably moving up into the top 10, pretty easy. I had one about 7 pounds that that last day, or the last day I fished, and fished for probably about an hour and had it bite two times. I never hooked her, and I never even got a chance to set the hook on her. But if I had caught that one, I'd have been right there. It probably within the top five, and definitely had been fishing that last day. But so looking back on it, I feel like I made some pretty good decisions as far as the way I spent my time, and just really can't complain. Had to get a good tournament under my belt.
And a lot of people don't understand that when you say you fish for it for an hour and she bit twice but you couldn't set the hook. Those fish can suck in a lure and blow it out quicker than you can react.
They can. And this one didn't. That's not what it did. It just never ate the bait. It would bite, and I could just see that she only had about half the bait in her mouth. You have to be real careful, and that's one reason you really want to pay close attention to the color of bait that you use. Because a lot of people, if you don't really have a good grasp as to where your bait is in that bed, and if you can't really see it when they bite it, a lot of times you'll feel the bite and you just instinctively set the hook.
Right.
You may hook that fish outside the mouth and have to turn around and let it go. But, I like to fish a bait that I can really visually see well enough to know whether or not they have the entire bait in their mouth or not. And only when I know that they have the bait completely in their mouth will I set the hook. So, just to try to minimize the chance of foul hooking the fish outside the mouth.
So when she'd have just part of it in her mouth, you wouldn't even do anything, just let her sit there?
What I usually try to do when I pick it up, a lot of times the bass will pick a bait up off the bed and just by the pinchers, if it's a crawl or the tail of a worm, they'll just kind of swim off the bed.
Right.
And we'll shake it. We'll kind of shake our line real fast just to try to, I guess you're trying to imitate that bait trying to escape the grasp of the fish. And sometimes out of instinct, when they feel that, they suck it in. They feel like it's trying to escape, and so they go ahead and suck it deeper into their mouth, and then of course you can set the fish and catch them. But that doesn't work all the time. But I definitely tried that, but it just didn't make. She didn't really hold it long enough, I think, to even let that work for me.
Wow, that's pretty good lesson out there for you. Those of you that are going after fish you can see, being able to see that and making sure they've got it all inside, something I never thought about.
Yeah, and that's the reason I throw, a white bait or a chartreuse bait. A lot of people think that we throw a bait like that because that's the color that the fish wants. That's not necessarily the case. A lot of times, each individual fish will be different. Sometimes they'll react better to a certain color bait. And a lot of times I'll be fishing for a fish on the bed that I know would react better to, a green pumpkin colored bait. But I'll throw a white just for my purpose. Just so I can see it. It's not because I feel like that's what it wants to bite. I just want to be able to see that bait, to know where it is in the bed, and how the fish, reacts to it in different places like that. And then just a lot of times you can't see that if you're using a darker bait. But more or less, the lighter color baits are for us, and not for the fish.
And that's why you fish the FLW and I sit here in the studio.
I've spent a lot of hours on the large type fishing. That's one of the things I do feel like I know a little bit about. It's one of my favorite ways to fish and to catch fish. Growing up, I always just love seeing that fish strike. That's why topwater fishing is so fun, because you see the bite.
Oh, but yeah.
Sight fishing like that, there's more of a, there's more of a hunting aspect to it as well, and it just adds another dimension to it.
Well, you finished 15th. And you jump from 71st after Toho to 26th. Now, with an automatic place in the cup, are you finding it easier or harder to focus on fishing in each tournament?
I think, honestly, I think it's probably easier. It was definitely a different feeling out there in that tournament. When I knew I was in contention for the cut, it was all about, what can I do, to try to make this cut. When I knew I was in position after the first day, it wasn't one of those situations where, a lot of times in a normal year, early in the year especially, you can have a really good first day, and one of the things that goes through your head is like, okay, I need to make sure I catch enough tomorrow to get some points and secure some points. And then after that, I'll worry about, trying to move up and make a cut.
Right.
Well, with me, not having to worry about that, my first instinct is to, okay, what do I need to go do to give me the best shot to make the cut?
Right.
At this point, that's what it's about. And especially now that Toho, passed and I didn't do well enough there to, at least put me in contention for Angler of the Year early
right.
on. That's kind of out of the question in my mind. At this point, I'm just focusing on trying to, trying to catch as many as I can and make the cut. I don't have to worry about the points, like I said. And it does feel a little bit different. It's a different feeling, but I think it'll help me. I think it'll help me, maybe fish a little more aggressive than I normally do. Because by nature, I probably don't fish as aggressive as a lot of people. I'm a little more conservative, and that's just how I've always been. But this year, I can afford to deviate from that a little bit, I think.
Well, it's a good change, I imagine. Good change.
Yeah, I wish every year. I'd like to be in that position every year.
Well, that's what we're working for this year, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Beaver Lake in Rogers, Arkansas. Any experience there?
Yeah, that's another one. It's kind of actually be very similar. It's one of those lakes that I finally, after 15 years of going, I think I've figured a little bit out about it. Like the times that we've been there, I've done pretty well. I think I made the top 10 cut 2 years ago. Last year, I think I finished in the top 20, basically fishing the same way, the same style. I'm looking forward to it. It should be, it's obviously in the mountains in northwest Arkansas, so I would foresee that the stage that the fish are in is probably going to be real similar to where we were at Smith Lake.
Okay.
And we should be right at the early stages of the spawn. Be some spawners up. There's probably going to still be a lot of pre-spawn fish to catch, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting out there, and it's a nice area. Also, I mean, it's a nice part of Arkansas. It's always a good trip. So
okay,
I'm anxious to get out there.
Good for you. And for those of you listening, when the FLW and Anthony's fishing these tournaments, you can keep up with a lot of what's going on because the FLW streams the weigh-ins each day. They have the live blogs. They have on-the-water reports and all, and you can do all that at the FLW at www.flwfishing.com. Look in the tournaments, find the next tournament on the schedule, and you can keep up with Anthony. Now, you won't be here for the college championships this weekend. I'm sure the guys at USC would have loved having you around as a good luck charm. When you were at Clemson, was college fishing even something that was around?
Not there. In fact, I don't know if I really remember it being – that was right when it started, right after I graduated.
Okay.
I think that Carolina got a team not long after I had graduated, and I think it was a few years after that maybe the Clemson finally got one. But it wasn't there while I was in school, and I wish that it had been. It would have been – I think it would have been a lot of fun to participate in that. It's become pretty big. It's extremely competitive, and there's a lot of really, really good anglers out there in the college ranks right now that, they're going to have – bright futures ahead of them when they get out.
Do you find many of those guys on the tours these days?
Yeah, there is. There's a few. There's still a few. Justin Lucas is one, that comes into mind. He's fishing the elite now, but
right.
He came up through the college ranks and had a really good start to his career. But he's not the only one. There's several others that are out there that I think would be. They're going to be really good anglers once they make the jump to that professional side.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be something else. If you can win the Cup and Casey can win the Classic, and, boy, if Geddes and Patrick can pull off the college, boy, we're going to have to have one more pig picking.
That's right. That was mentioned to me last week, I think, and I got a kick out of that. Even though I'm a Clemson grad, 2 and 3, it'd still be pretty nice for those guys to pull it off for the state of South Carolina. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Go 3 for 3.
That's right.
Well, look, I appreciate you calling in. Bad weather and all. Good fishing for the TV show. And this is not the only TV show you've done. You filmed something on Lake Murray last week, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Got an episode of Scott Martin's Challenge in. And had a great time. The lake did great. I actually got to and I got to debut my level rods on. And, you know, caught some big fish off the bed with my new rods, and was kind of, you know, I was excited to see that. But Scott and I had a great time. It was a close. It was definitely a close competition, but Lake Murray held up her end and gave some really nice fish. So it should be a good TV show whenever that gets on the air.
Well, great. Well, good fishing in Arkansas. Good fishing for the show you're doing there in Alabama. And I will talk to you after Beaver Lake.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Anthony.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. And welcome back to the last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina for another Saturday. These shows always go so fast. You look at the front side of it and you're like, how am I ever going to get through it? Do I have enough information? And I never get through. I've got a stack of things here that I'd like to get through in the last 10 minutes or so, and it's just not going to happen. But, you know, you get to carry it over to next week, right? So anyway, I love talking to Anthony. He and I talked for probably 15 or 20 minutes after we recorded that segment, and just a really nice guy. If you have a chance to meet him, he is just like he comes across, just as genuine and honest as he can be. He's got his Roger coming out. He actually talked a little bit about that with me, and I'm serious. And we ought to have one anyway. But if the USC boys pull off this 3-for-3, we're gonna have a royal shindig, hoedown, or whatever you want to call it, you know, for whatever reason. But we don't need a reason to cook a pig and eat it, but we got one now. I'm going to go through some news stories in the last segment, some things that may or may not know that are going on. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and they're getting closer. The next one starts next Saturday. If you have a kid who wants to fish, Department of Natural Resources, Aquatic Ed, has a whole list of free fishing rodeos. You can go to the DNR website, or actually just Google. Hey, we Google everything else. Might as well Google this. Google fishing rodeos, SCDNR, and they have a list. You can see every one of them, whether they're full. They have online registration available on that page. And like I said, they start off April the 25th, which is next Saturday. Blue Hole Recreation, Lake Thickety, Draper is the first one in May. And we talked about Croft State Park earlier. So you got Draper, Croft, Starfort Pond are all the second. Starting May 9th, you got a Goose Creek, a Sunrise Lake. May 16th, Barnwell County is having one. Bulls Bay Nature Festival Rodeo at Seaway Center, May 16th. Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery. I mean, hey, what a better place to go for a fishing rodeo than a fish hatchery. I mean, that's in Columbia. That's Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery in Columbia, West Columbia. Again, on May 16th, Darlington County Fishing Rodeo, Foster Lake Park in Union, Harold Pittman Memorial Fishing Day and Blue Heron Youth Fishing Rodeo the 16th, Jimmy Shea Memorial Fishing Rodeo at Lick Fork Lake in Edgefield, and the Piedmont Tree Nursery on the 16th. That's over here in Pickens Row, Coney County. And then June 6th, you've got Horry County and Marlboro County, and they even have one out here in October at Sockestee, South Carolina. So if you, like I said, if you've got a kid, you don't know how to do it, or you need some help, or I've been to several of these last year, you know, there's always somebody to help you. There's plenty of DNR guys walking around that'll help you, and they stock these lakes. I mean, when they say fishing rodeo, you're going to catch something. They bring in blue catfish or rainbow trout, brook trout, whatever. You will catch fish at these things. So if you've got a kid, make it a family day. Go online, register. Some of these will provide everything you need. In fact, they give it to you. Others, you have to bring it. Hey, you know, Walmart, you can get a Zebco 303 combo for less than $20. And that's all you need. And usually they've got bait there for you. So get out and go fishing. It's a good thing. I don't know if you saw it or not, or you heard about it, but we had some mischief up in North Carolina. Three guys that had a beef with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. went in and started fiddling around with the fish hatchery, an Armstrong fish hatchery, and closed one of the valves and killed 150,000 trout. They caught them, thank goodness, and they said they were just messing around. But you got to wonder what kind of people just mess around and kill 150,000 trout. Don't worry. North Carolina Hatchery and Wildlife Fisheries say they have enough fish to stock all the delayed harvest and all the put and takes for this season. So you can rest assured if you go to North Carolina trout fishing, there'll be enough there for you. And in trout fishing, you can go to North Carolina Coldwater Fisheries and look at their trout stocking reports. You can do the same for South Carolina. If you, again, Google South Carolina Department of Natural Resources trout stocking, they have a weekly summary that comes out and tells you where to go. And it also gives you how many trout were stocked. So, like I said, spring is here, fishing time. Get those kids out there and do it. Once they get hooked on fishing, they'll never get hooked on drugs. That's a good one that everybody always comes up with. News. Private property night hunting notice and registration. A little bit late on this one. From the last day of February to July the 1st, upon notification of the DNR at least 48 hours in advance, hogs, coyotes, and armadillos may be hunted at night with or without the aid of bait, electronic calls, artificial lights, and night vision devices using any legal firearm, bow, or crossbow. In other words, have at 'em. It says, say, notice the DNR is required once per season, and you give them the property, the name, date of birth, and hunting license numbers of each person participating in the hunt. Must be available for registration. They'll be asked to provide information regarding the location of the property, including road names and numbers that border the property. Hunters using centerfire rifles during this time must be at an elevated position at least 10 feet from the ground. I believe that's new this year with the addition of centerfire rifles. But, yeah, have at it. And, hey, like we said before, the coyotes, now is when you need to be going after the coyotes. Right now, April, May, and June. Try to protect our fawn population, our recruitment for fawns this year. From the Post and Courier. And here we go again with the cooking. I mean, this could have been a cooking show almost. Conditions looking better for spring shrimp crop. Early signs suggest low country shrimp will be more plentiful this spring after a few years of poor overall catches. It says better numbers than average of juveniles were pulled in by South Carolina Department of Natural Resources sample trawls late last month, said biologist Larry Delancey, although they were a little smaller than average for the time of year. Crops have been slowed by winter cold spells for the past few years, but water temps didn't drop as much this winter. They're starting to grow, and it doesn't look like the winter hurt them at all. So, what you need to do is contact Carolina Seafood in McClellanville and ask them if they have any fresh South Carolina shrimp, because there is nothing better on the grill than shrimp. Making Memories. South Carolina State Parks Making Memories Photo Contest. We're right in the middle of the spring segment, March the 1st through May 31st. You can go to the State Parks website, submit your pictures there, and get the rules and regulations. For all you photogs out there, they have this. They have four seasons a year. So get out there and submit your pictures. They got some pretty good prizes that are awarded, and they have all sorts of categories. So go to the South Carolina State Parks website, look at the Making Memories Photo Contest, and enter to win. New blue catfish length possession limits on Santee Cooper went into effect April the 1st. If you didn't know that, now you do. Harvest limits for blue catfish on the Santee Cooper Lakes set at 25 per angler per day. And that should have been a lot more stringent, but it didn't turn out that way. No more than two can be longer than 32 inches in length on the upper reach of the Santee, Marion and Moultrie, the diversion canal, and the rediversion canal upstream of the St. Stephens Dam, Congaree, and Waterbury Rivers. Still some debate going on about what to do about the blue catfish. And I think it's a conversation, like the deer regulations are going into effect, should have been had a long time ago. But at least we're having it. This is a funny one, and I want you to bear with me. And just, if you know if you've heard this before, just bear with me. This is great because it will make perfect sense to you. The American Psychiatric Association makes it official. Selfie, a mental disorder. This is March 31st, last year. I've had it a while. Chicago, Illinois, the American Psychiatric Association officially confirmed that many people thought all along taking selfies is a mental disorder. The APA made this classification during its annual board of meetings directors meeting in Chicago. The disorder is called sulfitis, as is defined as the obsessive compulsive desire to take pictures of oneself and post them on social media as a way to make up for the lack of self-esteem and to fill in a lack of intimacy. APA said there are three levels of the disorder. Borderline selfitis, taking photos of oneself at least three times a day, but not posting them on social media. Acute selfitis, taking photos of oneself at least three times a day and posting each of the photos on social media. Chronic selfitis, uncontrollable urge to take photos of oneself round the clock and posting the photos on social media more than six times a day. According to the APA, that while there is currently no cure for the disorder, temporary treatment is available through cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. The other good news is the CBT is covered under Obamacare. This is unwelcome news for Makati City in the Philippines, especially for its mayor, son of the incumbent vice president. He was promptly recently named Selfie Capital of the World. The mayor even organized a ticker tape parade after his city was bestowed the rare honor. And if you've heard this before, this is a joke. But all the news media picked it up, and it was front page on some newspapers and all. Great. So anyway, but you know what I mean? When I started reading that article, you know exactly what I was talking about if you're on social media. Hey, it's almost over. Chuck for this week. And trust me, diesel fuel does not do what gasoline will do to fire ants, but don't do that. Chuck Norris can put out a fire with a gallon of gasoline. That's it. I hope you enjoyed it. It was kind of a scrambled show. I will be posting the results of the fishing tournament down in Columbia just as soon as I have them from the weigh-in, and we'll see what kind of party we can schedule. There's James in the background. The weather's just getting warmer. The leaves are out. Dogwoods are blooming. Now they're even turning to green leaves. Make plans to get outside with the family. Be careful while you're out there. Always take the back roads when you can. And do not forget that camera. I'll talk to you again next week.